Hiya. Adversity and tough times. Six ideas to get moving when life throws a curveball. Welcome and thanks for signing up to Mike and myself's brilliant, unique and I hope slightly entertaining webinar that's coming up in September. I wanted to give you a little bit of something else for your faith and your belief. The belief and faith in us that had you signing up in the first place. So here it is, a few thoughts on getting going again when life sends a curveball and slaps us in the guts. And we all have it, you know. Anybody, even the top motivational speakers in the world, have harder times on occasion. And they've got to deal with it in just the same way as anybody else. It's part of being human. Nobody, but nobody, jumps around every day of their life like a dolly. Because we're alive, we're going to get challenged sometimes. So why have I chosen this subject, getting through adversity? It might seem so far removed from the connecting to people theme of our webinar. Well, believe me, the two subjects, they go together for sure. Getting through tough times and getting out there to connect with others on the planet, it's all part of the same thing. You know, while I'm working, I meet so many people whose life has just turned a freaking flip. Sudden bereavement, sudden breakups, often after many years. It takes great confidence and power to even step out of the door sometimes to be with others. And every single ship will hit the rocks on occasion. And hitting the rocks comes in many guises. From not getting the sale that you hoped for. Blimey, I understand that one. Disappointment in romance. Yeah, that one too. A lot. Brackets, a lot. To full on beltings, such as huge life upheavals. It's a subject I get asked about all the time. Nikki, how did you get yourself back up and back on the road? Well, I thought I'd offer a few answers. So I'll be telling you very honestly about just some of the dark times in my life and how I kept rolling, kept believing, and always, always, thank you, God, keep coming out on top. Incidentally, most likely everybody's going to relate to this. I'm going to say it again, you're going to relate to this at some point because few of us have had such meaningless lives that we haven't had experience good and bad. And I look back at my dark nights. And yes, I do thank God for them. I really do. Because it gave me what I needed. The strength and the resilience. The understanding and the tenacity to help people in the companies that I work in. And I've been there. I really have. I'm not just opening my mouth and hoping something's going to drop out of it. I've been that single parent pacing the floors at 4 o'clock in the morning, wondering how I'm going to pay that gas bill. And I've been that single parent getting the baby up at 6 o'clock. And, well, I'm sure a few mums will relate to this. You know, you have to get the Tommy Tippy spoon and play trains and aeroplanes just to get the porridge down the throat. Yeah, we all recognise that one. Blimey, O'Reilly. And then you've got to dress that little child and drop him or her with somebody else to look after for the day while you go to work and perform, trying to concentrate and just hoping that you're doing enough to keep that job. So a little bit more background before I tell you how I've kept going. You know, I've always expressed and defined myself with how much I sold in companies. Don't get too hung up on the sales CV because all that was, it only meant that that's what I did. That's the medium that I have used to feed me and my boy. I've exchanged feelings and outcomes between two individuals or two company groups. That's all it is. All sales is an exchange of energy. You know what? You might call it sales, but I call it my life. Because it gave me people to be around. And sometimes deep, deep friendships with people that I'd only met 5 minutes before. Connection to others, putting myself into the world, has always meant a lot to me. Each glorious connection, long or short, made my life what it is. Those friendships, they might only have lasted 6 minutes in retail, even less, 6 seconds sometimes. But you'd be surprised, I still remember more of those people than you'd think. I really do remember so many of them. I could tell you stories of the last, 30 years of people that I will never forget as long as I live. And it might just have been a passing conversation in an airport. Then there's the long, long projects in some of the companies where I've sat and created with them, sat and created the future through quicksand and sunshine. And there's been a hell of a lot of quicksand, I can tell you that one for sure. But I've used what I'm going to share there too. Keep the mind clear and the heart uncluttered with other people's opinions of what might be and what they think can't happen. Mental strength, it's the order of the day, every single day. So, let me take you back to my earlier years. Now, if you met me, I'm not exactly Claudia Schiffer to look at. Not being funny, but I'm not. And those are the days, aren't they, your teens, your early 20s, when you're actually forming an opinion of yourself. And I was told, really, that I wasn't worth that much unless I changed. Unless I changed this Yorkshire accent, for one thing. Now, listen, I'm trying to talk posh and I'm trying to talk slow so that our friends all over the world can understand me. But if you don't, email me at nikki@nikkipattinson.com and I'll send it you all in a very English document. I've also, not only have I got quite a thick accent, but I've got kind of a I've known you for years demeanour that was often misunderstood. You see, I've never had that little barrier that says, you don't know those people. Don't speak to them. Don't be around them like that. Because in my head, you know, those barriers never existed. But when I were young, it just wasn't accepted. It's quite strange how the world has changed, to be honest. So I were told to change who I was if I wanted to be someone. And I couldn't understand this. I really couldn't. I had no idea why. I mean, the universe likes diversity. And why was who Nikki was, who I am, so bloody unfortunate? School. Oh, crikey, O'Reilly. Well, you know, the teachers had me sat outside lessons. And I was always a show person. You know, I'm not academic. I have to say, I'm glad you can't see me really because I'm in my kitchen in Home Firth in West Yorkshire in the UK recording this. And I've got my hair up in a big pile on the top of my head, no slap on, my pyjamas on, you know, and honest to God, the sink is full of pots. I'm just giving you, well, there's a picture. I'm giving you a little picture of who I am. But the thing is, because I've got an audience, I'm absolutely alive. I am loving this. I really, really am. So thank you. I've always been the show person, never an academic. So why, I would ask myself, why did they always throw me out of class? Because I were only trying to make people laugh, and laughing's good. A lot of us, I think, were misunderstood as youngsters. I have to say, that sense of humour, it does get me into a little bit too much trouble at times. It really does. It was a different generation, wasn't it? So it was a different time in those days. And conformity was the order of the day. We're free now and most of that. Thank God. And most surely, our job is to tell the world who we really are and be loved. Simply for that. You know, I never would lose who I was. It ended up standing me in very good stead. How strange that what I was told was rubbish about me has actually turned into my fortune. And I sincerely hope that you hold good too with everything that you are and take much strength and confidence from the perfection of the person who stares back at you as you brush your teeth. Honest, I've sat with so many people who try to tell me why they can't do this, that or something else in an organisation because of, well, this, that or something else. And I look at them and I think, what? that's just not bloody true. The past repeats itself. We wind old stories and patterns into today that have got no place in who we've become. Other people's ideas, teachers, wives, husbands, some friends who meant well but projected their ideas of what should be onto us. And you know what? When that happens, our confidence quite often does a little dance to the door. I've met people who have been completely paralysed by its absence, paralysed by other people's opinions of who they were in their younger life. It's all a story that isn't true. We create our own truth. So I did very little until I was 29, believe it or not. Even though I could turn up and I had the skill to sell more than anybody else, I didn't have the belief in myself. I only heard other people's words of description about me. School bullies, parents from another generation, teachers who lived in a time where academia meant more than social skill. You know what? And I was lonely for people like me and lonely for a purpose in life, a job to do on the planet. People who understood me and made me laugh and think too. At 29, I met the man who was soon to become my lovely ex-husband. And maybe it's not the time now to go into the craziness of what happened at that time, but and that's just as well. All you need to know is that it was an ill match. But have you ever been with the wrong person, but just not able to stop yourself, knowing that there was a reason behind it all? You know what? Those wrong people are quite often the right people, after all, because devils, as they say, are angels in disguise, and so are devilish times. And sometimes when you meet people, they're there to put you into the next phase of your life, learn something, put you on your way in a way that just having good times never could. So let me quickly rerun my devilish times, as I call them, or my few couple of years of demise. Look, me and Johnny Boy, my husband, we bought a market stall in Huddersfield Market. We created something so profound and magnetic there. If I did nothing else in my whole life, it would have been worth coming to the planet. Within 2 years, we took that business to nearly £2 million. That's just over $3 million. Blimey. You know what? Can I just tell you as well? It's never the money. It's the creating it that counts. Because if you don't have people to be around and things to do with interesting people and a life, and you're not putting something into the world, all you are is an unhappy bird in a Prada dress and Gucci shoes. It means nothing. It's the creation of life, not the money. We had an amazing home, you know, and we'd been married. Well, a day after our first wedding anniversary, I had a beautiful baby boy, our Jackson. Jackson was an Italian-looking little boy with big brown eyes, taking after my mother's side. To be honest, my mother was of Italian descent. He had dark olive skin and black hair. You know, every time I looked into his eyes, I knew he was trying to tell me something that I didn't want to hear. And how right I was. I feel somewhere in the universe, years ago, we must have been two souls who signed a contract to help each other. Although at the time, I'm sure I didn't see it like that. November the 2nd, 1989, is the day my whole life changed. A pivotal moment. A pivotal moment is when you walk through a portal of no return. And what happens to you means you can never go back and never be the same again. I'd been having quite strange premonitions, I'll be honest, like a dark, dark energy was descending on our home. I dropped Jackson off at nursery that morning en route to the market stall, and against all my inner judgment that day, it were hot for November. And you know, that morning my boy had stared at me all morning while putting my makeup on, doing my hair, getting dressed, and I'd propped him up against a big toy panda that I had. for him. And his eyes followed me around the room. It had never happened before. And I know I didn't imagine it because I kept turning and saying, "Darling, why are you looking at mummy? Why are you staring at mummy?" I dropped him off and went to the market. 12:43 on the clock, the phone rang. It was the nursery telling me to sit down. I knew he were dead. I just knew he were dead. They'd put him upstairs on a hot day in a travel cot, left his warm outfit on, and wondered why he was dead when they went to wake him for lunch. Incidentally, can I say, that's why I feel qualified to speak about soul-to-soul connections, because you really do have a soul. When yours is battered and shattered and cracked in that way, it's such an intense pain, far worse than breaking an arm or a leg. And there will be people listening to this that understand that exactly what I'm saying like no others. Can I just say, if you were stood in my kitchen right now, I wished I could give you a massive hug and a kiss, because you and I have got a connection and you know what that is. At this point, can I say hello to me buddy, me why? My second son, Dahani. Dahani, D-H-A-N-I. Hello, darling, if ever you hear this, although I doubt you will, because at 24 you think everything your mum does is mental. But maybe one day you will listen to some of these recordings. And I just want you to know that you're with me and I think about you all the time, even when I'm at work. So Dahani was 2 when my mother died suddenly, not coming round from a routine operation. After that, my husband, shall we say, we split up and the money went with him. And the life that I had was replaced by about 200 grand's worth of debt. Finally, crikey, to end all this, my dad passed with cancer all in a couple of years. And because of the debt I'd found myself in, the business creditors that my husband had accrued had thought it were a good idea of taking us to nothing, me and my 4-year-old boy to nothing. I lost my home, I lost my family farm, I lost everything. When you're stripped to nothing, how strange you get a chance to find yourself. And maybe that's what we look for all along. You know what? I ended up, and I'm grateful for it, with nothing, virtually nothing, no job, no family. We lost a lifelong home. It was just like being uprooted from everything. Just me and my boy. How many of us have been in that situation? As with many of us today, reinvention is the key to getting back up there, because we can't stay where we are. And you know what? While ever the sun comes up, you get another crack at putting things right, another chance. So you might just want me to answer a question, because I get asked it all the time. Looking back, how do I now see the tragic death of my son? Well, I miss that young man. I do. I miss the young man that would have been siding with our Dahani when I'm shouting at him, asking to clear the dishwasher. But it's been such a positive driver in my life. And this might sound crazy, but it's how I see it. And this is a little talk on adversity. So I have to tell you the truth. One day I will see that young man again. Of that, there is no question. And I've got 2 choices. Choice 1, he looks at me and he says, "Oh God, Mum, it was. Do you know what? It would have been better if I'd never have been born. You never did anything. You never created anything. You never put into the world anything that you'd learnt from losing me and from your life. It'd have been a lot better if I'd not have been born." Or option B. "How the hell did you do that, Mum? I am so proud of you. You're amazing. You bloody did it." Let me quite categorically tell all of you, it's the latter. Being taken to nothing in a place of fear and uncertainty, terror actually, I was terrified, and I hear this all the time, it's when I actually found my voice. Without all that, I would not have the capacity to do this. Now, That's not to say that people that haven't had very intense life experiences can't go out and do amazing things and be a somebody. Maybe they just go through another route. But if you read a lot of the autobiographies of famous people that have achieved a lot, quite often they too have been taken to nothing. So I have an amazing life now with great people in it and people I meet everywhere I travel. I speak all over, quite well, all over the world, really, showing people just how we did it on that market stall, modifying the concepts and reapplying them to businesses from, well, the supermarket giant Tesco to big law firms to tiny personal businesses. You know what? The concepts, the idea behind it, it's all the same. It's all about connection. And I love what I do. And every time I fix somebody or something else, I fix another piece of me, because that's the way it all works, you know. We're all super connected. So, after all that, I'd like to share a few of the strategies that I deployed to set my train running again, running out of the station again, and get me out of that desolate spot that I've just described. And thank you for being so patient and listening. If you don't understand who I am and why I do what I do and why I need to tell you this, it doesn't make any sense. So this is how I got myself out of that desolate spot. And I'll be honest, many other desolate spots, mostly self-imposed since. When the chips are down and your backside's hanging out of your trousers, your connection to your inner world is all the more important. We need strategies, ideas, concepts to propel us out of that dark place in supersonic time. Because being stuck is no place to be in a world full of opportunities, people to meet, things to do. It's no place to be, no place at all. So, here goes. The six ideas coming up were exactly what I utilised in a two-up, one-down rented house with no money, a bag of grief, 100 bags of anger, and the knowing that I could never stay there and that I was worth more. Take from it what you will. Number one. Little cough there. Number one. Right, this is what I did on that first night after we'd lost everything in a two-up, one-down, rented house with nothing. Danny had gone to bed and I was in just a desolate space. I had no idea how I was going to get myself out of the mess I were in. So I got a sheet of paper and I wrote down everything that was wrong on the wrong side of the paper. So it was, I'm depressed, I have no job, I have no purpose in life, I am angry. All the things that were wrong. I don't own my own home, we don't even have a car. All the things that I felt was wrong with my life. And I really felt every single word that I wrote on that paper. And then I got a massive marker pen and just put a big black line on the right hand side of those words. And on the right hand side of the line, I wrote the total opposite. I wrote, I've got a very, very fulfilling, amazing job. I'm one of the best people in the country at what I do. I had a thing about BMWs in those days. So I wrote, I drive a black BMW that's got a personalised number plate. I fly to work. We have a beautiful home near a forest and a stream. Don't know why I said that, to be honest. Everything I wanted my life to be at that point, I wrote down. I wrote I earn $25,000 a year, which actually that's a fair bit of money now, but in those days it was quite a lot of money. And I'll come back to that in a second. I will come back to that list in a second when I tell you how to finish this little exercise off. So I got the left-hand side then of the paper, tore it off and tore it into teeny weeny little pieces. And then I set fire to it. And that's a crazy thing to do. But let me tell you what it did. I felt that all the anger and everything that was wrong was kind of coming out of my DNA and going up with the smoke. I absolutely felt a little more cleared. And then I started to read the right-hand side and I got that little piece of paper and I got a beautiful notebook and I wrote in, rewrote the right-hand side, but with more detail. So I wrote exactly what I wanted, where I wanted to fly to, who the people that I worked with in the business that I were earning 25 grand a year. I wrote it all down. Let me promise you, and I you won't believe it, but I swear I am telling you the truth. On the day that me and Danny moved from that house to where we are now, a little notebook fell out of a box. And when I opened it, I reread what I'd written all those years ago. Within 2 years of writing that note, I worked for a company called Attic. On my first day, they gave me a black BMW. The number plate was A5TTK. They started me on £25,000 a year. As I look out of the window now, I see a forest and a stream. I did become the best there was at what I did. And I think I told you that I'd written that I wanted to fly to work. Within 3 months, I was flying to America, flying to Europe, flying to Ireland. Almost every detail had come right because I had cleared the old energy and recalibrated the new. Now, you may have heard that concept somewhere before, but let me tell you, it works. It really works. So, idea number two. Oh, this is a lot simpler. Look, gotta ramp up the packaging when you're feeling a bit down. Clothes, makeup, hair, suits, shoes, manicures. Just take a little bit more time with your grooming. Honest, it makes you feel better when you look good and it doesn't need to be much. Look, for me, a cheap eyeliner looks as good as a designer one. In my experience, they are exactly the same. You can get a cheap eyeliner for a couple of dollars. If you're a bloke, have a great haircut or even just polish those boots. Now, does a small detail like that make a difference? Yeah, it does actually. The way that you present yourself can surround you with just that little bit more energy, and just that little bit more energy can project you out of a dark hole and into a better place faster than you'd ever know. Will polishing your boots make you change your world overnight? Probably not, but it's a component, a dimension, and when you look good, you feel better in the world. Number three. Oh, I love this one. I still do this. Do it a lot. Go get a potted tea, a glass of wine or a beer in a 5-star place. Look, I'll be honest. When I need a bit of sparkle, I go straight to a 5-star hotel where everything is designed to wrap you in a mantle of being looked after and greatness. Literally immersing yourself in that energy. And I'm not just talking about the energy of financial abundance, but of luxury, calm. If it's an old place, you've got the energy of all the confident business people, glamorous women and chivalrous gentlemen who have walked the floors before you. You deserve to be in that place. Are you listening to me? You deserve it. And those places, far from being snobby, I have to say, are some of the friendliest places that I frequent. And you don't need to spend a lot. One pot of tea, sit there, drink it, watch the world, absorb the energy. You do deserve it. Number four, clear the house. Look, they don't have feng shui for nothing. Oh, it's a big one, actually. Look, clean everything. Tidy everything. Throw away everything that doesn't direct you to your best new life. Polish, polish, polish. Clear the house. Clear the mind. Fettle the house. Old Yorkshire word. Fettle your mind. Now listen, I'm hardly Betty Crocker when it comes to housekeeping, but I sure know that that one works. Clear everything. Number five. Get those trainers on. Yeah, get your trainers on. get up at 6 o'clock and walk, walk, walk. If you have little children and no help, put them in a pushchair and run with them, or run on the spot while they watch TV. Look, I know it's an old one and I know it's well documented and everybody says the same, but they say it for a reason. It works. Exercise works. Outside exercise as the added stimulation of the buildings and the trees and other people. Inside exercise has the privacy, less distraction and a little bit more connection to your body. You know, in my darkest days that I've described, I had to get up and get on with the yoga as soon as I woke up before the black dog got me. And it didn't take long before I looked forward to my little routine. And I admit it's hard going to start with, and you can always find something else to do instead, like stay in bed. But nothing is as hard as feeling energetically stuck. And finally, never, never lose sight of what you came here for. Your goals, if you like. No disaster, minor or major. No other people's ideas of who you should be. No broken relationship. No temporary disappointment. Nothing. Only keep sight of where you're going. Don't look down. Don't look down. Have pictures and messages to yourself all over the house. Pictures and messages that describe where you're going. If you've lost a big contract at work, get planning a bigger, better one. If you didn't get that job or that sale, write it down, tear it up, burn it, and let the vapour return cleared and ready to materialise into something better, something meant for you. You are the whole of your future. You're not defined by one occurrence. You might have heard, as I've said, all this somewhere before, but it always holds true. Look, no matter how many holes you fall down, and there may be many, you will still be the someone you came here to be. No question, no discussion, the end. You might like to write one of my favourite sayings up and pin it up. Never let the problems of your world be greater than your spirit to put it right. Never let the problems of your world be greater than your spirit to put it right, because you can put it right. Maybe it's just a different kind of right, but you can do it. Look, I hope that's been of use to y'all, and I can't make it any more complicated or make things up that you've never heard said before. All I can do is 100% assure you that it worked for me and it continues to work for me. And I genuinely can't always believe where I've come from and where I am and where I'm going. But I can confidently and categorically tell you, mental strength is a greater friend than any skill or look, good or bad, or any external force in the universe when you've had that little slap. These 6 simple ideas help you create mental strength when you need it. And it's mental strength that comes from you, so you can't lose it. Now, take care of yourselves. Thank you so much for listening. That's about it. And think of me, perhaps, at a time when life slaps you the curveball. You can even email me at nikki@nikkipattinson.com, and then I'll be thinking of you too. You might be surprised to see I actually do email back. Or meet me on nikkipattinson.com. I really can't wait to see you in September with Mike. I really can't. But before then, I'm sending you lots of love from stunning Yorkshire.